first of all, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Sure.
So the title of your keynote for the HR Tech Conference is Facilitating Big Changes in Work. How would you say HR technology is supporting the changes we've been seeing since the pandemic?
Well, there's been kind of a big shift. The big shift, of course, is that every company is worried about supporting employees in this hybrid, home, remote, disconnected, connected, safe work experience that is, you know, becoming clearer day by day. And it requires scheduling, self-service, mobile access, employees under stress, employees working long hours, employees working on video conferences for, you know, on and on and on. So there's this massive effort in organizations to design a better employee experience, or design a new employee experience, maybe is the word. And the HR tools are being transformed to try to be relevant to that. You know, most HR systems are built to capture data or automate transactions or maybe attract candidates or assess people or survey people. The design point for HR technology a decade ago was for HR. It was technology for HR. That's why it was called HR technology. Well, it really isn't technology for HR anymore. It's now technology for employees that HR uses. We could rename the whole space employee tech, but nobody's done that yet. You know, maybe I'll try to give that a shot. Or work tech, it's often called. But it isn't just work tech, because it's not just tools for collaborating and creating documents. It's also identifying somebody's skills, identifying somebody's needs, giving people career opportunities, giving people advice on how they could be more productive, on how they could be healthier, how they could get more rest, looking at performance and measuring performance and helping people schedule their time so that they don't waste their time on things that aren't important, teaching managers how to be better coaches and leaders. So all of these things that were sort of non-technology related topics that HR did are now part of the technology environment. The second big thing is that I think the big trend in the HR tech market is what I call creator tools or design tools. If you want to build, for example, an employee portal that's a single place for employees to go to get all the things they need to do their jobs, to get their hours tracked, to book their vacation, get their benefits and all that, that's a big project. You can't buy that off the shelf. Now, you can go to Towers Watson, you can get a great solution for them. You can turn on Workday, you can get Oracle, and they have pieces of it, but you're going to spend most of your time designing it. And so what tools are going to use to design it? Well, you know, none of the HR tech vendors really built design tools. They built tools to use, but not tools to create. So the big shoe that dropped this year is Microsoft. Microsoft announced Viva, which is an off-the-shelf set of applications, four applications initially, one for employee portal and communications, one for analytics and well-being, one for learning, and one for topic and index and expertise finding. But what Microsoft really is a development environment to build things. So people that use Viva can first of all take advantage of all the work they've already done in IT with various Microsoft technologies, but now they can build things, they can extend it, they can add things to it, they can reconfigure it. And so the vendors in the market, Oracle, Workday, SuccessFactors, ADP, ServiceNow, all the other vendors are finding they have to give HR people very, very extensive tools to design and configure things, not just to implement them. And that's a different kind of a product. And I think it's kind of fun. It's kind of great because the HR profession during the pandemic became very creative. You know, we used to talk about getting a seat at the table and, you know, maybe the HR people weren't getting the credibility or the budget they needed. Well, last year, HR people got involved in everything. They got involved in remote work and safety and health and reliability of business and redesigning the jobs to deal with customers who don't want to come in the office anymore. And we need to deal with remote work or remote distribution of products and services through logistics. 40% of Americans changed jobs last year. So HR people were very, very busy building things. And they used the technology they had, and the tools they used the most were the ones that were easiest to reconfigure and design, not the ones that came out of the box and only did one thing. So that's a big change in the market too. And then I think the third thing that's transforming the market is AI. AI was a fascinating scientific discussion 3 or 4 years ago. Nobody knew what it was. We were talking about, you know, trying to define it. Now it's just there. Most of these systems have conversational interfaces. You can talk to them. You can type a chatbot and the chatbot understands what you're saying. They'll record the history of your activity and then give you feedback on that. They'll recommend content to you based on what you're doing in learning or in onboarding or other activities. And so these are very smart systems now. The HR systems, we dreamed about them being smart 4 or 5 years ago. They actually are smart. And so companies are buying software that's collecting a lot of data about activity and employee behavior, and they're building this intelligence database more and more and more. And so the HR buyers have to be more and more conscious of the data and how it's being used and what is the vendor's maturity in its chatbots or whatever services it's providing. And then the other one I would just add is that the whole domain of case management, knowledge management, process, workflow management was kind of a sideline. It was kind of a consulting project that somebody did in IT and maybe a little bit of it got used in HR. It's now a big part of HR's problem is as a result of all of these transformations in the way people work, we need a place for people to go for self-service. I mean, there was a company 25 years ago that trying to sell employee portals. They ended up getting acquired because nobody ever bought it, bought their software. Now everybody wants one. Everybody's building one. Everybody would like to buy one and try to play with it. So that part of the space has gotten very hot. And then I think recruiting is going to be really big this year because the job market's heating up. The learning industry is on fire. People are buying all sorts of learning tools because there's so much need to reskill people. And the employee engagement market is really hot. You know, Workday just acquired Peakon for $750 million. Qualtrics spun out of SAP and is now worth $20 billion. Glint is a big part of Microsoft's strategy. So a lot of these things that I remember sort of exploring over the last 4 or 5 years as great ideas from small companies that seemed like they would eventually pick up, they've all become popular in a sense.
I think we last talked around the middle of last year, and I was asking you about employee experience platforms, which is a term that I believe you coined.
Yeah.
And at the time you said it was evolving, not quite in ways you expected. It was getting to be a massive market, but there were a lot of little players, but except for maybe ServiceNow, there wasn't anyone that had like one core platform where, you know, that was a do-it-all platform. How would you answer the same question today?
I was writing about it 2 years ago and people were kind of not paying too much attention. I think the Microsoft announcement where they formally call Viva an employee experience platform, they branded it that way, is validating the fact that there is an entire category of software in this space. The problem with the market before is that everybody would say their product was used for employee experience, but they wouldn't call it employee experience platform. Now people know I need some place to put everything. So whether it be ServiceNow or the Workday People Experience or Microsoft Viva or this new thing that's coming out from Oracle or SuccessFactors HXM, all of the vendors are now realizing, oh my God, I have got to open my platform up and I've got to make it a place to go for employees to do all of these different things. As opposed to, I've got a great tool that does this, I've got a great tool that does that, I've got a great tool that does this. You know, the average company, big company, has 120 employee applications, which is just insane.
Yeah, I'll say.
And I understand why. There's all sorts of creative vendors building all sorts of cool tools. I have our company's not that big. We probably have 15 of them. And somebody always wants to buy another one. And I understand that, but employees aren't always benefited from all of that technology unless somebody can put it all in one place. And so these platforms have to be sort of a single place to go. They have to have data so that we don't have to keep re-logging in and changing context from place to place. They need to have security, obviously. And then they need to have a development environment on top of them so that the HR department and the IT department can customize them and make them really relevant to the workers in our company. Every company's got a slightly different workforce, people in different types of jobs, manufacturing workers, healthcare workers, retail workers, people on the road, people that work part-time. The other reason I think the employee experience market is so big is that there's so many gig workers. Gig work was kind of an academic discussion, and it was like, oh, Uber does that, but nobody else. Well, now everybody does it. Mm-hmm. Designers, engineers, salespeople, marketing people, everybody's doing gig work. A lot of people are doing gig work and they have a full-time job.
I was going to say, it's often on the side.
So we need a platform for that too. So that middle layer has become really one of the biggest investment areas. All the back end stuff hasn't gone away. So I don't mean to say that, you know, Workday and ADP and Oracle and all those payroll systems aren't important. They are, but they're not getting the creative attention that some of the front end systems are.
So these development tools that let the HR folks, who historically weren't always known as the most technical people, unless you're talking about HRIS and people with real IT skills. What are these tools like? Are they like the so-called low-code tools?
They're like, well, you know, first of all, HR people are becoming more technical and they are becoming more creative. You know, not the average business partner, but the average HR operations person actually does know a lot about technology and they know how to use it and they probably have an architect. But generally, they're kind of like workflow design tools where you can drag and drop and create panels and say, well, if this happens, do this. If this happens, do that. You don't have to be a software engineer. And some of them are actually what are called low-code environments where you drag a component that you designed over to another place and it operates there. But I think most of them are more like, you know, they're easier than building an Excel macro, which I never learned how to do.
Neither did I. It makes two of us at least. Yeah.
I mean, I tried once or twice, but they're pretty easy to use.
Mm-hmm. You're really known for following the small startups and really seeing mm-hmm. who's up and coming. Are there any maybe newer names that people ought to know about?
Well, I mean, it's amazing to me. The valuations of these software companies are massive. So BetterUp, which is a coaching network, very successful company, just got a funding round at $1.7 billion. I mean, if you told somebody 10 years ago, I'm going to build a $2 billion coaching company, they would have thought you're nuts.
Right. Yeah.
But they did. And they did it with AI and all sorts of interesting things they added to it. Eightfold is another one. Eightfold is a bunch of engineers, some of whom came from Google, who built really an intelligence system for skills and jobs that was originally targeted towards recruiting. And it's one of the best matching systems in the market to match candidates to jobs. And it's also used for redesigning companies around new roles. They're worth $1 billion. The learning experience platform companies like Degreed and Edcast that were basically startups 5, 6, 7 years are all worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Those are huge. Mm-hmm. The survey tools companies, I remember when the two founders of Glint came to my office in Oakland to tell me they were thinking about building survey tools. And I was kind of telling them, well, I think there's a big market, but it's kind of crowded. They got sold for, I don't know, in the hundreds of millions, maybe it was $500 or $600 million to Microsoft. Qualtrics got bought by SAP for $8 billion. Now they were also in customer surveys, but at least a third of their market was employees. Medallia is now a multi-billion dollar market company that sells to HR and employees. CultureAmp is probably worth close to $1 billion. These are companies, like I said, I've met the founders of most of these companies when there was two guys coding stuff, mm-hmm. not less than 10 years ago. So the market has gotten very, very important. And I don't think these are overvalued companies. I think this is because the demand is massive. And the reason that I think all of this technology is so popular and is so badly needed is not only the pandemic, but companies have automated away so much of their routine work that the employee work left is very high value work. So it's sales, service, customer service, retail, design, marketing, whatever. We need to make their jobs easier and more productive in every possible way. And so a lot of these creative tools in HR that seemed like brilliant ideas are now high ROI investments. The other thing that's interesting about the tech space for me, because I've been in tech a long time, all this stuff works. You know, there used to be a lot of tech stuff that sort of didn't work for a couple of years and it was kind of funky and people kind of tried it and it didn't. this stuff matures very, very fast now. The software development market is an advanced science in a sense that software engineers get together, they build things, they iterate, and they get them up and running in only a couple of months. It doesn't take 2 years to build a reasonably good system. So it's a very dynamic marketplace.
Things don't seem to crash as much as they used to.
Yeah, not everything does what you hope it's going to do, but you can get value out of these cloud-based systems pretty quickly.
Yeah. So another thing you've written recently, Josh, is you've mentioned that the pandemic is presenting companies with an opportunity to transform. So I guess we're talking about maybe digital transformation as part of that. What do you think that transformation will look like? Or maybe what should it look like? What's the real opportunity here?
Well, the big transformation isn't the digital, it's the jobs. It's the fact that the jobs are becoming hybrid and flexible and much more agile. There are very few jobs in the business world, at least. I don't know about government, it might be different, but in the business world, just about every job changes all the time. You've got a job and you've got a boss and you've got some stuff you're supposed to do. And then all of a sudden there's another little thing that got added. And then there's a little project and there's a new tool and there's a new system. And oh, the company just transformed. And oh, we're not doing that anymore. We're doing this. We've got a new product. So people have to be very flexible at work. And a lot of the HR software that we've bought and built over the last two decades was designed around a job defined in a box. And the job had competencies and we assessed people to hire them for the job based on known skills or known experiences. That's all falling away. So recruiters are hiring people based on their potential, on their readiness for change, on their capabilities, not necessarily direct experience in this one particular role. And then once they get into the company and they start doing the work and they start succeeding in some area, we want to give them a new responsibility in a marketplace model. So the inside of a company isn't job A leading to job B leading to job C. Now it's instead of job A, job C, B, job C in this order every 2 or 3 years, now it's job A leading to job A plus two, leading to job A3, leading to a special assignment to work on this. And by the way, another assignment to work on this. Oh, by the way, you're ready for a promotion. So these talent marketplace platforms, which were very hard to sell for a while, are now going everywhere. Everybody wants to build an internal mobility strategy. And I think that's going to be really important because the job market's going to get tight and it's going to be hard to hire people as we come out of the pandemic. So we're going to do a lot more internal mobility. So that's another big change. And then the other change, of course, is that well-being and mental health and resilience and human-centered leadership are now the models of leadership in companies. So organizations really want to buy tools and software that help people with their sense of, you know, organizational resilience and individual resilience. So the well-being market has moved from a benefit to a strategic part of the business and a strategic part of management. So a lot of these things have changed in the last, you know, really 15 to 18 months.
Part of what's going on here is this better integration of work and life. You know, people have been kind of forced into that because of the pandemic in ways they might not have predicted. How can the HR technology that you're seeing help with that, that kind of balancing of integrating work and the rest of life?
Well, the most important thing for HR people to do is to keep it simple. HR is really complicated. I mean, anybody who thinks HR technology is simple, you know, just look around and see how much of it there is. But what the HR manager has to do or the HR tech person is carefully select the fewest number of things they can, work with vendors that have experience in the market and industry and company size that you are. So you work with a vendor that is proven in your domain and try not to get too enamored with all the fancy new ideas. If you're a big company and you can afford to innovate and experiment, that's great. But if you're not a big company, it's okay to wait a few years until some of these things shake out, and then you might be able to buy them from the incumbent vendor you have, or the vendor you're buying from will be big enough that they're likely to be around for a long time. There have been many, many experiments with different performance management. Like the performance management tools market has been really difficult. Vendors that got into performance management, many of them have had a really hard time growing because the model keeps changing and the approaches keep changing. So, you know, if you went out to buy the world's best performance management tool 5 years ago, you probably threw it away and have started over by now. And try to be clear on what you're trying to accomplish and not buy too many things. And then be comfortable with the fact that every now and then you're going to buy something in HR tech that's not going to work out, and you're going to throw it away at some point and replace it. And it's just a very creative and innovative market, and that's just the way it's going.
Well, Josh, it's been great as always. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you, David.